This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everyone. April showers bring May flowers. If the old adage is true, we should have plenty of flowers this season. We had some beautiful but windy weekend weather, and as a result, I got a chance to scratch around in my little garden on the weekend. And if you're like me, you know the restorative power of gardening. Whether it's a flower bed or you're growing a few veggies, there's a certain quiet satisfaction in knowing that you've brought life from the soil. There are other benefits, of course, that come with gardening and being out in the fresh air and the sunshine, getting that exercise because you're doing stuff and you're not realizing you're doing stuff because it's task-oriented as opposed to just by rote. But a greenhouse is now being built at Her Majesty's Penitentiary for a brand new horticultural therapy project. It's a partnership between Sun Valley Greenhouses, the John Howard Society, prison officials at HMP, and the Research Exchange Group on Horticultural Therapy. And here to discuss the project further are horticultural therapist Jan Bewley and her husband David is back there somewhere. Hello, Jan.
Hi there. Hello. Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, not a problem. And Cindy Murphy, of course, our listeners know her all too well, the executive director of the John Howard Society. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having us.
Hey, no problem. So I'll start with you, Cindy. What is the Phoenix Garden Project?
Well, I can't tell you how excited we are about this project. When we were approached initially by Jan and then David and her group to talk about what this could mean for inmates at HMP, I mean, we were immediately on board. It was just all about, you know, working in a therapeutic way to provide inspiration and hope and create opportunities for change for inmates. And of course, that's what we're all about as an organization. So very happy to be involved.
So, Jan, you approached the John Howard Society. Where did the idea come from?
Well, I'll back up and give a little bit of history to this group, Cindy, if I can.
Sure.
We kicked off in October, I guess, with a viewing of the Insight Garden Program. It's called the Insight Garden Program, and it's part of the San Quentin Prison network in California. They have a wonderful transformative gardening program that also has a video. There's a movie that accompanies that, and we were lucky enough through the work that Rochelle Baker coordinates at the research consortium to get in touch with the two gals who coordinate the Insight Garden Program at the San Quentin Prison. And luckily enough, one of the members of the Hort Therapy Research Group here in St. John's in Newfoundland and Labrador was able to join us. She happens to be the addictions counselor at HMP. And she was able to bring, I believe we had five guys on the screen who were enthralled to think that such a positive initiative could be happening through gardening at a prison. And we posed the question, why don't we do this here? And out of the woodwork, out of the soil, came some real keen volunteers. We have a group of seven of us who are facilitating and guiding on the side, I like to say, Cindy, because we're really trying to, Linda, sorry, so we're really trying to empower the inside gardeners, as we call them. I don't particularly like the word inmates or prisoners, but the reality is that's what they are. The inside gardeners are working with us, and in we come weekly. We were working on Zoom through COVID, and there's a lot more to it, but that's a bit of the history of the Phoenix Garden Project, so named by the guys inside.
So, Jan, what is horticultural therapy then? What does it entail?
Well, I'm a licensed, a certificate-owning hort therapist, but a hort therapist is someone who focuses on the learning and the applicability of gardening as a restorative, experientially based learning opportunity. So in my opinion, every gardener is doing transformative work out in a garden. If you kill a tomato plant, you're learning lessons about that. Being immersed in the beauty of gardening and sharing in those interactions, particularly with an emphasis on promoting positive interactions with plants, and in this case, group interactions through a very deliberate classroom greenhouse scenario, which is what we're unleashing. And David Bewley, actually on the phone with me, was instrumental in reaching out to Cindy Murphy at John Howard. So maybe you can chime in there, David, too.
Hello, and I'm David. This is my voice, and I'm one of the volunteers as well. And we're really just interested in that, sharing that sense of what it is to put your fingers in the soil and put a plant in the soil and watch it grow and nurture it. And maybe sometimes it doesn't grow like you think it's going to. And it's all of those lovely experiences that are so important to gardeners anywhere. And so we're sort of thrilled to be able to share that with the folks inside in the Phoenix Garden Group. That's what we're looking forward to doing with this greenhouse project and all that will entail.
It strikes me as you're speaking that there's a lot of powerful lessons to be learned from gardening that aren't, oppressive, if you know what I'm saying. It teaches you about cause and effect and nurturing and attention and all of these kinds of things that really are life lessons in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's that emotional, that social-emotional piece that is so important, where we recognize that we are working alongside folks who have made, and they would say this, some really bad decisions in their life. So perhaps they are seeding some rows of self-reflection. There's a lot of seeds of forgiveness that are happening. There's great seeds of friendship that are happening as a result of this. And I think a very tangible piece for the group collectively is a planting of new awarenesses of the goodness that the John Howard Society is doing inside prisons coast to coast, but also dispelling those stereotypes that the people inside a prison are horrible people. They have families, they have people who love them, they have people who have hopes, and they themselves have hopes for themselves. And I think the inner gardening emotional work that's happening through some mindfulness work, we've been writing poetry, David will talk about singing with the guys inside, those are all providing possibilities to cultivate oneself in new ways.
My guests today on Target are horticultural therapist Jan Bewley, her husband David, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the singing now shortly, and that's where David comes in. And Cindy Murphy, the executive director of the John Howard Society, will be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. We're talking horticultural therapy at Her Majesty's Penitentiary, and this sounds like an exciting new project. And Cindy Murphy with the John Howard Society. What is the goal here?
Janice stated it so well at the opening of the conversation. You know, this is all about promoting well-being, health, and wellness. And I think the horticultural project is certainly going to help folks inside sort of look within and find inspiration and find hope. And we believe, and firmly believe, that hope and inspiration oftentimes will lead to change. So looking at their lives, believing that other things can be possible, getting out of the cycle of, you know, criminal activity, and finding that there's something better and a better way to live out there, I think it's an excellent project for that purpose alone. The other part that's so, I guess, inspirational about this project, and I hear this from inmates quite often, is that when there are volunteers involved, people who are coming in who have no really affiliation with, you know, with working within prisons or working within the criminal justice system, but inherently believe in a project project and believe in them, it creates a sense of inspiration that, wow, people do care about us, and we're not as, you know, because they often feel that they're looked down upon very often for the things that they've done. And it's fine. It's really difficult for some of them to believe otherwise. So when they see people come in with the goodwill and enthusiasm that this team has brought to this project, it's just amazing, and I think the results are going to be amazing.
As somebody who likes to get her fingernails dirty from time to time, I know how liberating it is somehow to just free your thoughts and just be working away and doing all these things and checking on it every day and that sort of thing. It's very grounding in a lot of ways. And when I think of people who have, for one reason or another, ended up in a place like HMP, it would seem to suggest that their lives had somehow gotten out of their own control, if you know what I'm saying. So is this kind of a way to help bring some sense of control over a person's life and well-being?
Absolutely. Jen. I just think it's so important. I mean, I think we all, in our own little way, I don't believe to be an avid horticulturalist, but I mean, I certainly appreciate my garden, as you had said, Linda. And, you know, and it does, you think differently when you're out working in the garden. It's just, you're thinking about other things. It's just a different mind frame. And I do believe that the benefits directly working with nature will create that hope and hopefully the change.
What are those benefits, Jen?
Well, I'm going to speak to something that we do at the end of every meeting, and we meet on Mondays, actually. There's a team going in as we speak here, Linda, in about 20 minutes. We meet on Mondays from 2 to 3:30, and I can tell you that one of the things we do as a bit of closure to the circle gatherings that we've been having inside around a table, and sometimes those involve passing around some basil and closing our eyes and recalling a wonderful pizza or spaghetti sauce, or sometimes we invite the guys to think about who was a hero in a gardening scenario. And it's amazing the number of memories of grandparents and picking berries and things. And at the end of these gatherings, there's a little box called a noticings box, and each of the guys picks up a pen, and we all do this. We all write something that we noticed that happened in the 75, 90 minutes that we've been together. And often on those little sheets of paper, the guys will write things like, I notice that I'm breathing slower, or I noticed that I was smiling when I heard my buddy, I'll just say a name, Ronald, and that's not anybody in the group, when I noticed Ronald telling the story about going berry picking. Or I feel less angry about something that has happened to me as a result of being here today. They all have journals, and we've been doing some journal writing. And so the impact of that experience, they've all had plants in their cell, Linda, and there was a beautiful amaryllis bulb that was donated, and the guys planted it with Tim Walsh from the Mon Botanical Gardens. He's a member of this 7-person team. Listeners may know that name, and it bloomed. It bloomed, actually, on the birthday of the person who gave it. And the guys took turns putting it in different cells, and they made this lovely trellis out of some straws and pinned it to the wall to help stake it up. And you can't help but be transformed when you're in the presence of beauty. And when you're in the presence of something you're caring for, you know, that's the grounding, if every pun intended. That's the grounding of gardening, that we're in the presence of something that we're caring for. We're nourishing ourselves inside, and we're nurturing ourselves with this beauty. And the beauty of, well, the beauty of hearing singing. And I'm going to turn it over to David to talk about that day.
Well, indeed. And just before we go there, but everything you're saying is putting me in mind of a conversation we had on our morning show this morning with Andy Jones about mindfulness and being in the moment and how therapeutic that can be. So gardening speaks to a lot of that sort of thing as well. But it's very funny. When I got this news release on Friday and I reached out to David Bewley and I tried to arrange all this, and he was very enthusiastic, of course. And then I said, so are you a gardener or a horticulturalist? Well, he said, I'm actually an associate professor of music education. So how does that tie into all of this? And where does music and singing come from?
I can say that we're all various kinds of people who are volunteering, and I think we all have an interest in gardening. I don't profess, somewhat like Cindy, don't profess to be, you know, really great in the garden, but I have fun and always lots of hope, and pleased when the rhubarb returns every spring and that sort of thing. But my day job is teaching music education, and others of us are musicians and artists and have various things to bring. So we like to not only do gardening things, but we reach around with some arts-based kinds of projects as well, because it's a wonderful way to create social interaction. And so I believe, of course, that singing together is a marvelous, or making music together, but singing primarily is a wonderful way to grow in relationship. And believe that fundamentally everyone wants to sing. And I hear it all the time that people say, oh, I can't sing, or no, I'm not a singer. But in deep down, I always find that eventually people will come around to that. So when I was last there, We take turns going inside the prison, and because we're at this point, we're not all allowed to be in the prison at the same time with COVID regulations. When it was my turn, I thought, well, I'll bring a guitar along and we'll sing a song. And of course, I could perform the song, but I said, well, let's all sing this song. So we talked a little bit about just where the song came from. It's a great song called The Garden Song, Inch by Inch, Row by Row. Gonna make this garden grow, inch by inch, row by row. Gonna make this garden grow, that one, by Dave Mallett. And it's sung by all kinds of groups. All kinds of folks sing that song here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So I think a couple of the guys knew it, and they joined in and very happily participated in singing this song. And we're really enjoying, I could tell, just enjoying making music together. And so that's a lovely release as well, because I think sometimes in that, in the joy of singing or the social interaction that happens, you kind of forget about your own self and you have to be part of something else. And it's a little bit of fun, a little bit of familiarity, a little bit of beauty, and making some harmony. It's all just a good thing to do. So we will be doing lots more of that, and then we can sing to the plants too. That's also, it's always a good thing to try.
They say it does help. I don't know. I haven't tried singing to the plants yet, but
you'll be surprised.
I might be known to do it inside the house, but not outside just yet. David, has COVID affected any of this, what you do with the music therapy? Because I'm thinking, you know, when we're talking about respiratory droplets and all that, singing is a big no-no for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, well, we are wearing masks, of course. When we're in the presence, we're not singing, belting it out or anything. It's just a kind of quiet humming along sort of thing. So it's not a problem, really. And we're in enough of a space that there's some space for isolation or distancing there as well. So as long as masks are on and we're all wearing them, then it's usually safe enough, I think.
Is there a willingness to sing along, or are people a little more sheepish?
I didn't find any problem with the guys there. They were quite happy to sing along, yeah.
And it was a first. I can tell you that the comments from the guards that were there said they couldn't believe the laughter and the singing coming from the room. Yeah, really incredible. I should also add, Linda, that there's an exciting extra piece that is part of this gardening project, and it really is called the Phoenix Garden Project. One vocational part of it that we're borrowing actually from the San Quentin Insight Gardening Program, they have a very robust curriculum actually, where the guys can take a four-year course where they graduate with a gardening degree, and it's a series of modules that the inmates take. Much of that is based on the nuts and bolts of the scope and sequence of learning how to garden, how to make an earth-friendly compost, what is vermiculture, what are some healthy ways to avoid using pesticides and herbicides, and even things around risk management in a garden and accessibility issues, how to do a raised garden if you're, you know, designing something for a wheelchair accessibility. And we thought, well, we can do that too. We had a conversation with the coordinators at the Nova Women's Prison in Nova Scotia, outside Truro, and they have partnered with Dalhousie, actually, and have, through the Faculty of Agriculture there, have put together a really wonderful curriculum that is designed for the women there. So we're doing that. We're creating, and it's going to be launched on June 30th when we have our ribbon cutting of the greenhouse. We have created an 8-module gardening certificate program for the guys. It will be very conducive to the transient nature of the guys who are coming and going from there. They're sometimes transferred to other facilities and they move on, but this will mean that they can finish a module in how to build a compost and maintain a compost center in a garden, and then check that off and move on to another area of the learning invitations, we're calling them. So that's very exciting too, and there aren't a lot of I'll say curriculum documents for inside places of incarceration, and this is a very proactive, positive move. The guys are really enthused, and not surprisingly, because they're very, some very clever people inside who have great gifts in carpentry and insights. One guy really wants to know about hydroponics, and another guy really just wants to get good at growing tomatoes. And this teaching greenhouse opportunity is going to be absolutely the best news on the planet.
My guests today on Target are Jan and David Bewley and Cindy Murphy, the executive director of the John Howard Society. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. We're talking about the Phoenix Garden Project at Her Majesty's Penitentiary. And our guests today are horticultural therapist Jan Bewley and her husband David, and Cindy Murphy, the executive director of the John Howard Society. And Cindy, we've seen similar types of projects, have we not? The sort of garden therapy, that sort of thing undertaken at HMP and other correctional institutions here in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Yes, I think there has been some. Certainly not to the scale of this one, though. I think, you know, there's been some attempts to do some raised gardening beds and those types of things in the past. But this is a real opportunity to create an oasis within HMP, you know, just by the sheer scope of the project with the large greenhouse, something that's not been done down there. And, you know, obviously that's a key to this whole piece and, you know, and our fundraising efforts to make that happen. So, yeah, so some attempts have been done in the past, and we really want to thank the officials and the staff at HMP for their support on this project too, because they're making it happen and putting things in place for us to make it happen, and more importantly for the volunteers to make it happen. I have to say John Howard's role in this is more of a supportive role. You know, we see when we were approached about this project, it fits so closely with our own core values about what we believe in terms of the work that we do, you know, about creating, and everybody has intrinsic worth, and that, you know, the potential to become responsible citizens, and all of that fits closely and ties into the work we're doing. So, again, you know, I think it's an inspirational project. It's thinking outside the box. It's doing something different. It's bringing community into what's often a very closed setting. you know, and creating that hope, you know, like we do with many of our other volunteer projects, you know, like at HMP, we run the library down there. We also have our one-to-one visitation program where volunteers, just ordinary citizens who have an interest in sharing and talking with inmates and who come in on a weekly basis and provide sort of a kind of a friendship and mentoring and encouragement, you know, about setting goals and planning for the future. This very much fits with that. And so, yeah, we're on board.
So who's the expert then on this greenhouse?
I think Sun Valley Greenhouses would be Scott and Kim Wilson. They're are great. The wonderful homegrown company, Linda, that have also partnered with us very generously, have given us an incredibly reasonable price on this 20-foot by 8-foot teaching classroom greenhouse that is going to be in place. The gravel arrives on the, I believe it's the 15th of June, and we staked it out last week, and it's full speed ahead. Yeah, it's going to be really, really exciting. It's solid cedar with a polycarbonate roof that, you know, lots of connections there as well. When the greenhouse company, when Kim and Scott Wilson were first approached, they were, of course, so thrilled. And they've got a backup. They have something like 50 greenhouses on their waiting list to be built. And without any hesitation, because greenhouses have taken off during COVID, they, of course, jumped on board. And Kim reached out to the company that they get the polycarbonate roofing from in Virginia, and they said, you know what, for this kind of a project, we want to offer that gift of that roofing. So, and then Scott matched with another piece of the funding, and David has just made a wonderful website for this project. He can talk more about the fundraising pieces there.
Well, yes, because you're hoping to get this up and running by the end of June. That's not a very big time frame. Tell us a little bit more about this fundraiser.
Sure. Well, we launched a fundraiser on Saturday, May the 1st. So for the month of May, we're hoping to raise enough money to purchase the greenhouse and also some other pieces of equipment and materials that will be needed to sustain this project over the long term. And that is that's part of our marvelous relationship with the John Howard Society. They were so, Cindy was so helpful in allowing the Phoenix Garden Group to, in a sense, I don't like to say the word filter, but sift any donations through the John Howard Society. And so because it's a tax-deductible offering, anyone that wants to donate to this can do so through the John Howard Society on the Canada Helps page. And we have a campaign page there. Cindy and Tracy were very helpful in setting that up for us. Our webpage, if people want to look it up, it's www.hmp or HMP and then PGP, HMPPGP. .ca, and there's all kinds of material there about our project, but also a picture of the greenhouse we're hoping that we will be building. Not hoping, it's going to happen. And it seems like an ambitious goal of $20,000, but I will tell you right now, we started this on Saturday, and already there's $3,640 there. So we're doing very well in 2 days, and I think we won't have any problem reaching our goal. And if people want to be part of it, there's a donations page on our website, and you can see what kind of things that money will go toward, things like a hinge on the door or a board for one of the walls or one of the pieces of polycarbonate. So we still need walls and some of the windows, of course, for the greenhouse. So there's lots of lovely pieces to think about purchasing or just making a donation over the general donation. So we'd be happy to have anyone's help.
So this is the structure itself, but what about all the equipment that you'll need and the soil and all of those kinds of things?
And that's all part of our fundraising goal. We've got a very good price on the structure itself, and then we're going to be building some raised garden beds as well. And soil is, I think the authorities at HMP were talking about getting the gravel in there and helping to do with that. So we've got some very good support from a whole lot of different people, and we're not too worried about how it's all going to happen, but happy to have help, though, of course, financially.
So 20 by 8 feet, that's a pretty substantial structure. Now, HMP is an aging facility. We know that. There's been a lot of talk about hopefully replacing that building at some point. Mm-hmm. Will that structure be movable?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It can be taken on a flatbed and put in the new place, wherever the new prison is. So that'll be able to happen if that happens, yeah.
My guests today on Target are Jan and David Bewley and Cindy Murphy, the executive director of the John Howard Society. We're talking about the Phoenix Garden Project at HMP. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're talking about the Phoenix Garden Project at Her Majesty's Penitentiary, and they hope to have this greenhouse 20 by 8 feet up and running, so to speak, by the end of June. They're well on their way to raising enough money to do that. But Jan, I was going to ask you, how many inmates can this project accommodate?
Well, we're very conscious of the social distancing pieces that are required right at the moment, Linda. I will tell you that we have a waiting list to get into it. The two coordinators that are inside working with us, Alex and Kathy, are staff at HMP, and we, in conversation with them, decided initially we'd like to have eight inmates have been meeting maximum with us on Mondays as part of our program online during some of those COVID times when we couldn't get inside the prison. But ultimately, it would be a beautiful scenario to see what is happening in San Quentin prison, in having an opportunity for the greenhouse and gardening area to be enjoyed by anybody walking by. Of course, the supervision there is a key piece, and helping the guys really take responsibility for what's happening there. But during the teaching time, certainly a group 6 to 8 inside, and part of that area, there's going to be a lovely, as David mentioned, we're building some raised gardens out at the side, and the greenhouse certainly will be a wonderful teaching oasis. I like that word that Cindy used. Yeah.
And obviously there's great interest if you have a waiting list.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. It's a you know, the opportunity to get out and have fresh air, Linda, and be in the presence of the sun. Today you can imagine the beauty of being there, and I don't know what plans the two facilitators with the Phoenix Garden Project today have up their sleeve. I know they're finishing up with the logo design with the guys, and it's a very restorative program inside and out. And I know, you know, something I will add here that's very interesting. The Insight Garden Program did a really interesting 6-year study and found that less than 10% of prisoners who were involved with the gardening project there reoffended. And that's a pretty astonishing, transformative piece to think about, that a gardening project and just being able to reconnect with environmental understanding and some purposeful, personal restorative work can, as Cindy mentioned, can lead to a strengthening of one's self-worth, where you leave the prison maybe not so angry, that you leave with hope that you can make a corner of the world more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if I could just add to that as well, is, you know, the practical learning. You know, there's so many barriers for people who are leaving a custodial sentence. You know, everything from, lower levels of education, not a lot of job skills, all of those things that help build self-esteem and self-worth. Mm-hmm. So any practical learnings that can be added to that is just amazing. And the results, like I said, it's like a seed in itself. It allows things to grow and percolate and people to believe and that they can be other things, that they can do other things, and that, you know, they're not always going to be on the outside and be marginalized, you know, and kind of looking in, that they have a contribution to make and can be contributing members of our community, which we all want at the end of the day.
Of course. Yeah.
And the fact that this is a greenhouse, of course, helps to extend that very short, any gardener in Newfoundland and Labrador knows the short growing season here. Is government or the correction system as a whole on board?
Sorry, I'll jump in. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think they see the value in the project and that they're doing whatever they can to support it. You know, maybe Jan or Dave could speak more specifically to that. But I know from our initial meetings with the officials at HMP, there was a lot of encouragement and support of the work we were doing.
We actually had a meeting last week at our site visit, which was an absolutely electrifying opportunity to go and actually put popsicle sticks into the ground and see exactly where it's going to be. And the guys were looking out the windows and cheering us on. And, you know, the coordinator people and the staff at HMP have been all smiles and very excited about this. And I know that they have, we were given a safety and protocol meeting last week. You know, how do we maintain the tools and how will we assist with the goings and the comings of what will happen there? They have a dedicated pair of guards who will be with us and who are avid gardeners themselves. You know, there's another piece here too, Linda, that I'd like to mention, that the impact of the beauty of the greenhouse being inside the prison yard has also been studied. And there are real impact stories of what it does for the employees who are also working in a space like HMP. And to be able to, we hope, enjoy some of the salad greens that we're going to grow there and the tomatoes. And there's a greenhouse actually on the west coast of Canada where they have actually a market. They've been selling the produce from the greenhouse there. And, you know, we've got great, great aspirations for this place. And I think it's all fueling wonderful, blooming things.
And we haven't really reached out to government yet, but I know that the prison authorities are hoping that there'll be, maybe when we open the greenhouse at the end of June, that maybe someone would come and represent the justice system too. That would be marvelous. But we're going to kind of leave that to the folks at HMP to worry about.
So, David, for want of a better word, you're the PR guy on this, and you said that you are trying to raise this $20,000 goal for the not just the greenhouse, but for the things that will be needed to go inside of it. For those who didn't have their pens and papers and notes ready, how can people get involved in contributing towards this?
If they go to our website, www.hmppgp.ca, Her Majesty's Penitentiary Phoenix Garden Project, so just the first letters of that, hmppgp.ca. There you can see a donations page, and if you click on that and just follow the links, you're taken to the Canada Helps organization, and through that people can make online donations. If someone wanted to write a check, if we're not comfortable doing something online, we are certainly happy to take checks as well, and that would go to the John Howard Society NL. And then just a note to say at HMP Phoenix Garden Project. So that's all on our website there, so folks can track that down if they want to. Yeah.
You should also note, too, we have a link.
Every little bit helps. You know, don't feel like a $10 donation is perfectly wonderful, because I know that sometimes in this day and age, it's very hard to come up with extra cash. But $5, $10, that would be a wonderful help as well, because everything helps. That's how we're going to stay strong in this.
Sorry, Cindy, you were saying?
Yeah, I was just going to say that people can also find a link through our website at John Howard Society. So John Howard howardnl.ca, and there's a link to a donation button and information about the project on our website as well. So lots of opportunities. And like I said, if people wanted to drop off a donation at our offices, that can be at 342 Pennywell Road here in St. John's. And we'd be happy to do that as well. And of course, all donations coming through the Society will be eligible for a charitable receipt for income tax purposes. And so that's often an incentive, too, for some people who would like to donate. So we're happy to provide that, as well as our thanks and gratitude for, you know, for considering this as a worthy project.
Absolutely. And Dave, I just know I'm going to be fielding calls in the newsroom a little later on, people asking about the greenhouses themselves. So this is a local company. Where can people find them?
They have a Facebook page. It's Sun Valley Greenhouses, and they've got a great Facebook page. They've got their own website. Let me just see what it is. It's Sun Valley Greenhouses, all one thing, .ca, and you can see the pictures of their various beautiful. They are absolutely gorgeous greenhouses, and so various sizes. They have one called the Fogo, and there's a Buren, and there's a Bonavista, the Twillingate. They've named them after all sorts of great places. The Hopedale is the smallest one, I think, and it's, so named after all sorts of great places here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So. So they can find them there.
And they're local.
I will say that Kim is a grade 3 teacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scott is a firefighter.
Right.
And two more beautiful people stepping forward in partnering with us, I don't think we would find. They're just an incredible pair. And they came out last week, of course, for the site visit, Linda, and also just wanted to be there from the beginning launch. And so we'll be really, really excited on June 30th, the big opening.
It's going to be amazing. Yep.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, I must say. I do appreciate all of you joining us on the show today. Cindy Murphy is the Executive Director of the John Howard Society. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Bewley was the one that brought all this to my attention, and I want to thank you for doing so and helping to bring it to the audience's attention.
Thank you so much, Linda, for having us on the show. It's great. Mm-hmm.
No trouble. And Jan, the last word will go to you. We have less than a minute left.
Well, I just think that, you know, the proof of the pudding is when we said we were doing this with the guys, the first time we mentioned it, they were silent in, I think, disbelief that anything like this could really happen. And now it is. And when we said it's really happening, they aren't allowed to donate nickels and dimes, but one of them said, "Can we give our change?" Yeah, and they're not allowed to do that at the prison. We said we would help get all this to happen, but that's a pretty incredible statement.
Indeed, and so you're relying on the public to come forward. www.hmppgp.ca. Thanks once again for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Do join us then.